Rave Radio. Hi, Joel Rollins here, and it is about 2:35 on the first day of Infocom 2015. It's been a long day already. And with me, after his own long day, is Neil Willis of Hypersign. Neil's somebody that I go to for information on not just the digital signage market, but a whole lot of other technologies. Neil, thanks for being with us.
Man, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Listen, so what are you seeing that's good?
I was walking in a little, I don't know if you call it a catwalk, from the parking lot when you kind of look over down the show, and man, displays everywhere, bigger and brighter and higher res, and it's really a big display market inside there. It's beautiful. It really is.
Which ought to be real good for you, huh?
Well, considering we're a software that drives those displays, yeah, I guess it's a pretty good position to be in.
Neil runs Hypersign, which is a entirely web-based, cloud-based signage system that I happen to really, really like. And Neil, you've got some exciting things going on right now with a major player, don't you?
We do. We've kind of been tied up with Samsung for about 2 years now and working with them with their ecosystem and growing the two vertical markets that we focus on, being in education and healthcare. Earlier this year, we were approached by Google around January because we had actually had a version of Hypersign that ran really, really well in a Chromebox. And Google asked me to speak in their booth at Digital Signage Expo. As a result of that that conference, or the meeting at the conference, the three companies, Hypersign, Google, and Samsung, decided to form a partnership, and that we were going to end up tackling these two primary key markets of education and healthcare together with our packages and our products that we offer. So we are already rolled out. Last month we rolled out what's called the Connected U, which is actually the education rollout that's offered through Ingram Micro right now. We're looking at other distis to offer that through. But it's really been exciting about the packaging these things together. And now we'll be launching the healthcare version, which is called the LifeU Bundle, in July through Google Healthcare, Samsung Healthcare, and Hypersign.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more about what this bundle entails.
The bundle is a combination of Samsung displays that range all the way from 10-inch, which is really well used for like room signs to compete with the Ciscos and Steelcases and those guys, all the way up to large architectural video walls. The Google Chromebox Player, their device management software that's built into it, and a year subscription for Hypersign. And then we also throw in a bunch of creative art services and professional services as part of the package, all available for a single SKU through distribution. And the maker, they come out with maximum discounts and stuff associated with the product to really make it move really very well.
Whose brand is the bundle available under?
Under Hypersign.
Okay.
So it's under Hypersign SKU, and I think that was because we're so small, we're pretty nimble, we're pretty agile, so we can update SKUs through distribution really well. But Ingram Micro was great to work with us to where we can update our SKUs within a day of actually having those solidified. So the Connected U bundle is aimed towards that, and then, like I said, LifeU will have a very similar approach to it coming out in July.
Okay.
So
I'm a Samsung dealer. I'm also a Hypersign dealer. That's got to be a challenging partnership. Samsung is so large. And
they are.
Yeah.
I think what's made it easy for us, not to give any tips to competitors, generally the digital signage industry as it's developed over the years is everybody wanted to be able to grab as much revenue as they could. So they were very, a mile wide, inch deep. You've heard that term.
Sure, right.
And so they tried to be able to answer to every market they could out there. And we were a little bit different because we knew education and healthcare, and we knew the depth of what the customer needs were in that space. And we felt like if we were a generic, to everybody, then we wouldn't really be a value to those particular vertical markets. Well, consequently, when you're working with these large companies, they have vertical strategy teams.
Right.
So they get kind of lost with the company who is everything to everybody, and mile wide, inch deep. But they align themselves very well with ones that have vertical strategies.
Sure.
Samsung, Google, all have an education vertical strategy team that in a sense is not completely siloed, but it is kind of grouped off in their own. They have their own marketing side of it. They have their own tech side of it. So us being vertically oriented even being a small business, aligns us very well with these large companies that also have their vertical strategy teams. So it actually elevated us above what other digital signage companies were doing because we knew those vertical markets well.
Now, I've looked extensively at your product in education, and you've got some real advantages there. I mean, HyperSign Alert, for those of you who haven't seen it, it is an alert system triggerable through HyperSign that can allow you to give directions to people in an emergency situation, can allow teachers to trigger it from remote devices, that kind of thing. So I'm familiar with that, and frankly, your kid pickup system is one of the most innovative things I've ever seen.
Right.
What makes HyperSign so applicable in the healthcare market?
We're using a lot of the facets that we use inside what we did in regular. What you just mentioned, the HyperSign Alert. Believe it or not, that resonates very well inside of a healthcare environment. You have pink codes, which are when the baby's been abducted from the neonatal or whatever it might be. Those things are when you have displays, but also desktops running Mac, Windows, and maybe even the Chrome OS are triggered when those emergency alerts happen. So the ease of use of the UI resonates very well in healthcare. The HyperSign Alert resonates very well. We ended up adding some functionality that allows, we have a library built up of 1,000 videos that are, you have health and awareness that's used for hospital TV, so they don't have to end up having Dr. Phil in there for the afternoon. And then also inside the healthcare, we have specific drops-on apps. We have a digital patient board that replaces the marker board that's inside the inpatient room. That was a hit at HIMSS. So we got best technology at HIMSS for our room sign solution that's outside the
now
patient.
What show is this?
HIMSS, the Health Information Management Systems.
Okay.
It's like the CES of the healthcare industry, you know.
Okay.
All the EMR money is inside that show. But so our patient room solution outside of it, and then the digital patient board, those two technologies really did well. So we have the same core technology as you did, which you were talking about with the HyperSign, but we've added some drops-on applications, which is the beauty of the platform, is we can make drops-on applications that are more vertically focused. And but yet we're constantly refining it to where when the doctor walks in a room, that you know the RFID notifies Dr. Rodriguez is in room 201. So we're modifying the technology to be able to do those things automatically. To bring value to that market. But the core technology is still there, so we still have one dev stream, but we'll have the drops on applications. We'll add value to that particular vertical area.
Now, how's marketing for the partnership working?
It is all three companies have skin in the game, you know, as a saying. So Samsung has been really heavy in doing, you know, using their dealer promotion departments, you know, for their webinars that they have through their STEP program. They've actually done it with some of their blogs, website on Samsung.com. Google has used their Google Plus platform, which sounds small, but they've got 1.2 million people that follow it every day.
Small for Google isn't small.
Yeah, the EDU blog, which you know, has millions of followers and stuff associated with that. So they have, and we also had a press release that was released too that showed the partnership. So when you have a formal press release that's going out to the world that's got the name Google and Samsung on it, you know, we're the little guys, we're just kind of the center of the solution. So all three companies have really promoted that through social media, through press releases. And for the education, because Connected U was really an education, we're going to be a big deal at ISTE here in a few weeks. So we've got the EdTech Technology, National EdTech Show is going to be in Philadelphia in a few weeks. And that's going to be a really nice little pickup for that because that's
what Let me ask you a question you may not want to answer.
Okay.
I found HyperSign, actually, I saw you on the floor 2 years ago at Infocom and went crazy.
I remember you sitting on the couch there
right,
in my booth.
Right, absolutely. Right. Because I was a dealer for Magic Info,
right.
Which is Samsung's own signage product.
Right.
Which is a signage product that only an engineer could love, in my opinion. You don't have to say it, I will. How do you finding acceptance within the Samsung organization?
It's been really accepted. We really don't hear Magic Info mentioned a lot. I mean, I think that for the vertical markets that we really serve, that HyperSign really serves it very well. I think Magic Info for the retail space is really where they aim that product for,
sure.
Which is not our sandbox. You know, so we really don't run into Samsung personnel saying, okay, we want to use Magic Info in this place because it's more aimed toward a different market than what we're serving.
Sure.
So I think that's the, there's no rub there, you know, basically is what it is.
Okay.
So it works out really
and
well.
Google, I mean, okay, if we think of Samsung as a big organization, Google now is poised to dominate the world. So, at which we can talk about the
yeah
the,
from California what, yeah
whether that's good or not, but you know how do you get that message out with Google's people?
they have, I think what's really interesting for me about the people I've worked with at Google, they're incredibly kind. I'll tell you that truth. It's really surprising, because normally when you're dealing with a large organization, you have some pretty, people that just, they look at small companies as being a nuisance. And, they've not been that way. They've been very available to me. I think they see the value in Hypersign and what it offers these particular vertical markets. Google is a very social company. So they don't necessarily look at, we want to make sales, we got to do all this kind of stuff, but we want to make a difference in the markets that we're serving.
Sure.
So when they look at the social equity they're building inside of education, or social equity they're building in healthcare, because healthcare is a new initiative for them. They're really starting to kick that off. And so I think that Hypersign had a degree of social, contribution or social capital that it was actually contributing by saying, we got Hypersign Alert, which can save a child's life in education.
Sure.
Or inside of a healthcare that says ding, 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 ding. All right, that brings off a bell in their eyes. So they've seen us as being valuable. They've been very accepting to us, even invited me out to Mountain View to be able to see the Googleplex. And I just want to see the coffee maker for the most part.
To
say I saw it. Got my picture made with a little selfie. But they've been very receptive, and they're all the way up to people who are in the senior level management of their marketing team and the Google for Work team have just been just. I asked the question, we were at DSC, because they were making decisions really quick. And I asked them, I said, as a large organization, how does this work? And they said, we are a large organization, but we want to run like an entrepreneurial organization.
That's interesting, because I had a number of Google people as students at Institute, and that was the attitude I got from them. I mean, they really were interested in what we were doing as an industry, in kind of where it was all going. And I was surprised at, how open they were about wanting to learn those things. It was great.
And think about that as a business owner, how difficult it is to maintain culture. When you're hitting those concrete ceilings constantly, you're breaking those barriers, it's so difficult to be able to maintain that culture.
Yeah.
I mean, even when, when I have an integration company, I had Synergy, 80 employees was a different culture than having 20.
Right.
And it's so, but imagine having a couple hundred thousand, and you're maintaining that entrepreneurial culture is extremely, that's they got to be applauded just for that.
Now, I've just gotten my first demo system of Hypersign as running on Chromebox. It was the easiest thing to set up I've ever done, right? Yeah. B, talk to me about this management system that they have built into this.
Well, think of it as like a, almost like a Citrix or a VMware, Fusion type thing for the Chromebox. It allows you to be able to do remote reboots, management as far as updates and things of that nature. You're managing your Chrome ecosystem, whether it be Chromebooks or being Chrome boxes from that device. We will be incorporating the Chrome management system into Hypersign later this year, but as it stands right now, they are two separate logons. But that's really the added value it adds to Hypersign, is that we're controlling all the content. We can end up letting you know when polling and stuff was going on with the device, but they add another level of device management that only Google can at an operating system level. So I almost compare it to like a Citrix. Citrix for that Chromebox.
What does it allow me to do?
Allows you to be able to, like I said, power on, power off. Allows you to be able to see resource allocations and stuff associated with Chromebox, to manage your as far as a bandwidth. When am I doing updates? Am I doing it during a certain time of the days or not during some of the time of the days? So all of your device and software updates and things of that nature. It also lets you set policies, IP policies associated with certain networks. Some of the companies that we deal with have very restrictive networks.
Very.
And we're dealing right now with like WebSense. To when you have a digital signage player that goes out, it needs to pre-authenticate before it can go out to the cloud. And that's become a little bit more increasingly difficult with the non-desktop operating system environments, Android, even the Samsung SSP. So but when you go to the non-desktop operating system, you have a more secure environment because it's not a multitasking, it's more unitasking, it's more kiosk-based. So, but all those things as far as the policies and device management are all built into that. And they're going to be increasing the value of that as well as it goes up.
One of the things that we've already found out is that, we try to manage those devices for clients, but you've been out to see us. Our clients, they're banks and hedge funds.
Right.
Their networks are among the most restrictive in the world. So this is a management system built in at an operating system level.
That's right.
That would allow me much more easily through those firewalls and through those systems to manage those devices.
And I think it's going to be even stronger than it would be if you had like a Windows client that was serving to do device management for that Windows machine, because it is built on that OS level.
Right.
So it gives you a lot more access to things that you would not end up having as a third-party software supplier.
Well, I hate to say it, but from a personal point of view, it's an anything but Windows world.
Okay, yeah. we're both Mac users, I know.
Okay, now you're somebody that I tend to look to for insight on the digital signage market itself. What do you see happening in the market today that, that is changing?
We are doing some things right now. We have an all-site meeting scheduled for Monday of tying in wearables and tying in wearables to how it triggers. Because if you look at the value, if you step back and you're familiar with HyperSign and what we do as a company, which you are, HyperSign Alert, and I don't want to get too technical, HyperSign Alert is a mechanism. You know, we use the alert functionality of it because it was a low-hanging fruit. Because of Newtown, because of the different schools, Columbine, stuff like that, it was a low-hanging fruit of we can trigger something from some device and we can send content to anything, anywhere, at any time. So think about that mechanism that I can trigger something from a tablet or from a close contact closure, from a serial device, and that would trigger content to go to desktops, laptops, digital signs, mobile devices at any time, anywhere. Now, what are my triggers? Right now with HyperSign Alert, it's the tablet running our app, or it's actually a close contact closure going through our IPG, which triggers it like a fire alarm system. But in reality, it can be anything. It could be, you know, I'm wearing a Misfit Shine. It can be a Misfit Shine. It can be, you know, some other tag, an RFID tagging system, you know, which you mentioned, Kid Gopher, those things. So what we're trying to do is inside the healthcare and education space that we serve is we want to be able to bring the ability to tie wearable technology and mobile technology in with signage to be able to trigger content. And content, because we're a global access company, we're on the cloud. Things can happen in Asia for a plant or for an organization there that's triggered inside of you know, United States somewhere. We have customers who are doing that now. So I see that the digital signage ends up becoming the front-end display. I think displays like in a hall are really going to be rather, I don't want to say irrelevant, but it doesn't matter if it's a small display, it's just based off preference. But the back-end technology is going to be triggering content. I need to get the content I want based off the event inside of my organization at a moment's notice where I am. You know, whether I'm carrying my phone, whether I'm carrying my tablet, I've got my laptop, or it's a large format display inside of my facility. So I think it's the intelligence, the back-end intelligence of digital signage is going to become a lot richer. And it's going to allow us to be able to do those things and notify of what's going on.
What are the growth markets today? I mean, where is digital signage getting that we hadn't seen it get to in the past?
Well, obviously, the ones we're focused on, we feel like there's a large dollar amount.
Yeah, I didn't
amount.
Want to steer yeah. you there, though, right?
But even outside of education and healthcare, which is our key markets, there's a lot in transportation. You know, every time I fly, I mean, I know you probably concur with this. Every time I fly, I see more and more. You know, I get a little jealous, actually. So I see more displays. I'm like, oh, that's a competitor, you know. But every time I fly, I see more and more in the airports.
Right.
You know, fidget displays are becoming richer and stuff inside the airports. So I think transportation, the oil industry, is becoming more and more inside the digital signage. You know, especially offshore when you have the Middle East, they're doing a lot more inside that space. You know, QSRs and so the retail space, they were the ones that kind of led the space as well. But I think probably the next big boom is, and I may have already shared this with you before, is I think it's going to be manufacturing. I think there's the value contribution that having digital signage displays on manufacturing floors are going to be a great value. And I'll give you a perfect example, if you give me a second, is I went several years ago to the Toyota manufacturing plant in Georgetown, Kentucky.
Right.
And they, 750,000, or I can't remember how big the floor plant is. Basically a city.
It's enormous.
They
it's
make
also
all the
one
Camrys.
Of the most automated plants in the world.
Yeah, they make all the Camrys in the world,
yeah.
And just absolutely huge plant. And I was doing a tour through there, and I saw a lot of us that have any kind of manufacturing background, you know about total quality management, Edwards Deming principles, you know, Kaizen, those type of principles used in manufacturing. And they had these team boards. And these team boards are at each of these manufacturing line locations that would have Excel spreadsheets and charts and stuff up, and would end up having performance numbers for that shift. And these are all paper. And I asked the guy driving the tram, you know, you got a big place when you got a tram that's taking people around.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So What is that? He sure enough, he said, that's my team board. So it was a Kaizen principle. And I said, how many of those are there in the plant? He said, around 1,000.
Wow.
1,000. I said, how are they updating? He says, we have 10 guys on bicycles that every shift they ride around, they update these charts. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Perfect opportunity for digital signage to put a nice 55-inch vertically oriented display that showed these metrics that could be generated from their ERP system up into that system, but also in the event something happens on the manufacturing line, an alert may go off on that screen. Tying it into the overhead paging, you know, by Biamp or by Valcom or some of these other guys. And so I think those are going to be more and more in American manufacturing, just picking back up a little bit. So I think that's going to be a real area that we're going to focus on is in that manufacturing space. Of course, you're going to see it in retail. You're seeing more small form factor displays at countertops, you know, for retail.
Right.
Those are going to become richer and involving your Starbucks card to be able to get points and stuff like that. That's going to be more and more. But I think one of the ones that that are off the radar is going to be that manufacturing space.
Okay. Yeah, that makes all kinds of sense. We actually were just talking about this the other day. I mean, we're a small organization. And as you know, we use Basecamp to manage all
Jason
of our
Fried's
projects.
An awesome guy.
Yeah, he sure is. I just did an interview with him a little while ago.
Awesome.
And it's awesome product. The problem is, of course, that we're mobile all the time. And not that our guys all carry iPads. They can get to it, but they have to go look at it. And we started to say, what happens if on job sites we start putting out, you know, a display on a stand? And what happens if we put a couple within our headquarters? So as you're going out the door, the last thing you're seeing are the most current Basecamp updates.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, you know, again, like with manufacturing, that would seem to make all kinds of sense.
It's not, and most of your manufacturing is going to be internal messaging.
Right.
You know, in organizations, you have, with digital signs, you have two different ways of doing. You have external messaging to customers, patients, students, whatever it might be. And you have internal messaging, you know, and that's going to be employees. So in a manufacturing environment, almost all of what signage will be used in those environments will be internal messaging. You know, so that brings up, you know, when you're doing metrics tools and stuff with measuring and live information from an ERP system and stuff like that, that just that creates a whole really, really cool concept of how to be able to, and from a performance standpoint, you have small businesses that can benefit from that. Dashboards, live digital signage dashboards about
right,
how my
yes.
business is doing today, which I'm sure Jason would be all over.
Absolutely.
Because I know how Basecamp out of Chicago works, and they've got, they're distributed with all their employees, so actually having dashboards to be able to do it, you know, signs. So, you know, things that tie into Salesforce and things that tie into some of these other tools that just really, really bring value to what's on that display. You know, so I think watching the industry change and watching it grow is exciting. It's almost like I feel like I'm on the front edge of it. I feel like I am, but sometimes I look back and wow, that's a cool thing we need to do. And there's a lot of opportunities that we're running into that I think just, you know, if I had about 10 or 12 of me to come up with new ideas all the time, and
sure,
okay, but I don't think the world could take that.
I was gonna say I don't think the world could take it. Okay, well, you're also somebody whose opinion on technology I respect. You're getting to actually see the show floor today, I would presume.
I've seen a little bit of it. I haven't seen a whole lot of it.
What are you
so
looking
far.
For? I mean, what did you leave home saying, I wonder if I'll see this at Infocom?
I don't know. I think, believe it or not, and you may not believe this knowing me, I don't know if I had any preconceived notions about what I was. I wanted to come in here with an open mind. Which, you know, my wife wouldn't be able to, she wouldn't understand that or believe that about me right now. But I came in here just to kind of, I'm meeting with partners and looking at open concepts. I had a meeting this morning with an organization that we basically come up with an idea around a table that I had never even thought about before about how to use our software. And I love those moments.
Sure.
I love those moments to where, wow, those wow moments, not to be able to, you know, tout the Infocom slogan here, but those wow moments to where you really say, we just now fixed a problem. We fixed something big. So I think coming in here and saying, okay, I'm going to share with you what I have to offer, you know, both as a leader, you know, what's in my head, what's in my company, what we have as a product. And because we are a small company that controls our own source code and controls our own product, you know, I don't have to end up going somewhere else to get approval. And then having a company say, well, this is what we have. And I'm like, man, we can fix this problem by doing this. So partnerships and collaborations to be able to fix problems and to be able to enhance people's lives. Every time we have the opportunity to do that, man, I'll step in that circle all day long.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I've watched you do it a couple times. So
Africa, yeah, that's the kind of stuff like that. Yeah, it's great. It's one of those things that makes life worth living sometimes. Yeah.
So Neil, information about all this, hypersign.com?
Hypersign.com, that's the primary domain, and you can kind of go where you need to from there as far as looking up what we're doing inside our markets we serve. And but yeah.
Folks, let me tell you something too. If you go there and you want to communicate with Hypersign, you're going to wind up, and this is unusual for a company in our business, you'll actually get to wind up talking to Neil, and you should. Anyway, Neil, thanks for being with us.
Not a problem, pal. Thank you.